I remember those days where I would go weeks and weeks without showering. I'd look up and look at myself in the mirror and be like, I don't even recognize myself anymore.
Is your child's challenging behavior leaving you feeling exhausted, defeated, and hopeless? You are not alone. And I want you to know you are not a failure and your child is not broken. Welcome to Calm the Chaos Parenting, the podcast for parents raising strong-willed, highly sensitive, or neurodivergent children. I'm Dana Abraham, parenting expert, and I have helped hundreds of thousands of families just like yours. Each week, I'll share simple science-backed solutions to help you feel more grounded, in tune, and deeply connected to your child, no matter what challenge you face. Start your journey from surviving to thriving as a family at calmthechaospodcast.com.
Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Calm the Chaos Parenting Podcast. If you feel like you are so stressed out by your kids' behaviors, by relationships with your partner, and by all the things on your to-do list, and you are not sure how to even move forward, today is for you, because we're going to be talking about how to clear your own head and how to get out of your own overwhelm so that you can show up for your kids, so that you have space and energy in your day to take care of not only your kids, but also yourself. I'm super excited to be joined by Julie Redman. And Julie, welcome to the podcast. Super excited to have you here.
Thank you. I'm really amped for our conversation.
Awesome. So for people who don't know who you are, can you tell them a little bit about yourself and what you do?
Sure. So yeah, my name is Julie Redmond, and I host the Mom Made Plans podcast, which really stemmed from, I am a mom of twins, that boy and girl that are nine. And yeah, that mom life will do it to you to really figure out how to make some plans and routines and get your life together and on this journey for sure of all of that self-development to be a better parent. And yeah, that's where a little further on the journey than some around the same, and just helping people not make the same mistakes and have that insight of how to not just go through motherhood in survival mode and how to make it just a little bit easier and all the practical things. Cause I'm a practical girl. Tell me the thing. How do we do it? And yeah, just practical strategies and expectation shifts to really get ourselves out of that scattered survival mode.
I love that, because there are so many people listening to this that are definitely feeling in survival mode. I remember those days where I would go weeks and weeks without showering. I'd look up and look at myself in the mirror and be like, I don't even recognize myself anymore because I was in such survival mode. What would you say are some of the signs that led you to realize you were in survival mode and needed to do something differently?
Oh, goodness. I think just two at one time, and being new to it all, it was literally a little time in the NICU, all of that to get you a little rattled and just trying to check all the boxes and just realizing you're in that reactive mindset of, okay, kids need to eat now. I need to have bottles. I need to feed them. Nap. It's just very, schedules are great, but they're also just, you can become a slave to them and just trying to find the right thing. And so I just remember just being so overwhelmed with just trying to get through and not enjoying any of it. And that is my one, if I could go back, like your one regret or whatever, is really not savoring any of it or enjoying it. And I don't want to glamorize it so much that we hear that thing of like, oh, enjoy every moment. It's so beautiful and wonderful. And yes, it is. But I also feel like that can be paired with so much guilt when it doesn't feel wonderful and it just feels hard. That's okay too, but that we just figure out how to be more intentional with our time and our schedule so that we don't feel like a slave to it and that we can enjoy it as much as possible. So that's really just getting out of that. Yeah.
Do you feel like you had a moment that was like, okay, life has to change. I got to do something very different or things are going to end badly. Did you have one of those moments that led to some of the things you're going to be sharing today? Or was it just gradual over time, some realizations?
I think more gradual. I feel like I never have those big moments in my life of all of those shifts of, oh, how did you start this? And it's always just a gradual. I think it's, I'm always pursuing how to do something better, how to be more efficient. And so it was just baby steps of like, okay, what's the right schedule? And this feels better. And even working through and learning now to be like, oh man, if I could have this knowledge and tool set back then. And so that's the whole thing of please, for places like this, for your amazing podcast, please gain that awareness of how hard parenting is, but there are tools to make it easier and better. And so really it was just that slow journey of trying things and testing things and hearing other people being frustrated. And I'm always about solution mode. And I'm like, oh, don't be grumpy and upset that you're not showering forever and like settling for whatever you think motherhood looks like. Like we just have a lot of stereotypes of this is what motherhood is. And we sacrifice a lot. And that's certainly a part of it. But I think we sacrifice more than we need to in the name of this is just what motherhood looks like. And this journey.
We were talking beforehand and you were saying that it's really helpful when you were able to identify your non-negotiables. Can you talk to me about what you mean by non-negotiables and what that looks like?
Yeah, that's the huge piece. And really on that journey of evolving through motherhood and figuring out, I didn't have that word for it in the beginning. But for me personally, it's funny because I feel like the shower that you had mentioned that example, because I feel like that's such a popular one. I had predetermined I was getting a shower every day. Like that was a non-negotiable. I didn't have that word phrase for it, but I had decided. And because I had decided that that was important to me, that happened. I made that happen. And so whatever that may look like for you, that might not be the shower. You may be like, no, I can go. I'm okay. So it's whatever works for you, but I had decided that was important to me. And so those are the things that you figure out in your day, because a workout is another common one. If you don't get that workout in the morning, like I am not the 5 a.m. mom before the kids. If you are, like, bless you. Amazing. That is not my jam. But it can be a struggle to get in like a workout, for example. And so say that's important to you and you're not getting it and you find you're getting to the end of the day and you're feeling grumpy that you didn't get it. And that is a red flag. Whatever those things are that you get to the end of the day or you're going through the day and you're just feeling just like grouchy about and resentful about that, that's coming to play. You're not getting adult conversations if you've got really little ones or whatever that may be, you're just finding you're getting a little bitter and resentful of not having those. And those are huge little flags to be like, okay, I need to prioritize this. I need to make this a non-negotiable. And by determining it's a non-negotiable, that it is what it says, like you are making that happen no matter what. Now you may have to modify, like workout example, one day it might be 30 minutes, one day it might be 15 minutes. Like it's okay, but just that it happens every day, you have to have some grace for yourself, but you've decided that's happening no matter what. Because on the flip side, once you determine a few things, you can't have a laundry list of, oh, I want to do these 30 things every day.
Well, that's what realistic. I was thinking. Like so many people probably have this long list of things. They get to the end of the day and they're like, oh my gosh, I didn't do this. I didn't do this. And I didn't do that. And so I just want to make sure people are hearing you correctly. I don't think you're saying if you get to the end of the day and you're like thinking of all the things you didn't do and you have resentment towards it, that automatically means that you're non-negotiable, right? You have to review it and say, is this actually important in my life? And if it's important in my life, I want to choose this as my non-negotiable, but that means that other things are going to be off the table. And so that's kind of where I'm curious. It's like, how do you reconcile these needs that we have as parents when you also are raising twins that are in the NICU and need you 24/7, or you are dealing with a kid that's getting kicked out of school, or you're dealing with a kid who won't sleep in their own bed. Like, how do you reconcile your non-negotiable and your needs with everything that's competing against it?
Yeah. And so that's where we can't confuse our to-do list with our non-negotiables. Like, the non-negotiables are a couple things that are more like fill your cup that you aren't carrying. Because the issue is, especially with kids with extra challenging behaviors, your days are harder. And if you're bringing into that picture your resentment of just these couple core things, where if you sit down and if you're like, you know what, if nothing else happened today but a cup of coffee and a shower, like I could survive. and they'd be okay. Yeah. Like, we're really paring it down to essentials, because if you're not even getting a couple core needs met of that, I don't love the word term self-care, but okay, like me time, self-care, getting a couple of those things. Now you are carrying that through the entire day. And so your bandwidth to handle the extra blips in the morning of behavior issues before school and afternoon, you're now just, it's stacking layer upon mm-hmm. layer. So if you can check a box, or at least know if your little me time isn't happening until tonight, you at least know that no matter what, you're going to make that happen. You're not carrying this resentment and having extra frustration or ill will even with your kids of like, oh, you're taking this from me. If you can at least know, like, yeah, maybe I'm not getting the elaborate spa days or like chill afternoons where my kids can come home from school and be okay without having to go through this whole ordeal and schedule. Having that one piece can just help you so much to have bandwidth mm-hmm. to deal with all the extra blips. Because we know every day is a landmine of who knows what. Yeah. So yeah, it's just so important.
I always equate it like your phone. We all have a phone, and the last time we went a day without charging our phone, we probably would have lost our minds, right? None of us go more than 24 hours without charging our phone. And yet when I ask parents, especially moms, when is the last time you charged yourself? They're like, oh, I can't remember the last time. And so what you're talking about with these non-negotiables are these little small things that recharge you. Like you said, you can't have a long list of 30. So what would you suggest? 3, 5, 7? What are you thinking about? Or when you first get started, is it 1?
Yeah, I really think like 1 to 3 or so. And depending on your season of life and the age of your kids and their particular issues right now, like you're just going to have to decide. You may have an ideal list of 5, but you're like, okay, most days I still, that's like a secondary, like a great day, maybe I'll get 5. But on an average day, I can get 2. And like I said, it's like cup of coffee or workout or shower or like quiet time, reading a book for 10 minutes. Like it's little pieces, like realistic.
How do you get started with it? Like when you, once you have identified, so it sounds like one of the ways to identify is to say, okay, what am I feeling resentful for or frustrated about at the end of the day that I'm like, I need this and I'm not getting it. That sounds like that's one way to identify a non-negotiable. And I kind of like that way of looking at it. But then once I've identified it, I'm looking at my day, I can see so many of the women that I work with saying, just because I've identified it doesn't mean I can get it met. Like, how am I supposed to start changing things so that this non-negotiable is truly a non-negotiable and it's happening every day?
Yeah. And it may require experimentation. So I want you to not give up in the first few days. If you try something and it doesn't work, you may have to play around with your schedule and be creative of, if there's a book you want to read, maybe your car ride, it's the audio book. Like when you're doing dishes, you're listening to music that you enjoy, or whatever little like habit stacking style, something that you're already doing. How can you pair something that will fill your cup with that one thing you're already doing, like putting clothes away, whatever, all these, the glamorous tasks that we have to deal with all the time.
Well, we can even bring it back to
something you have to do.
Yeah. So we can take it back to your example of, I'd go 2-3 weeks without a shower. And you're like, no, that was a non-negotiable. I was taking a shower. Like for me, I couldn't take, I literally couldn't figure out how to take a shower, because if I took a shower, it meant my kid was by himself and could potentially have a meltdown and have dangerous behaviors. So it was hard for me to see how to reconcile my non-negotiable would be a shower. I would love for that to be my non-negotiable, but I couldn't reconcile that with what was really happening in my day-to-day life at the time. You're saying you had twins and they were in the NICU, and you're like, before I even had them, I'm like, I'm going to get a shower every day, you know? So were there things that you had to either A, give up on, B, change your expectations on, or something else to allow that shower to happen? Otherwise, it wouldn't have been possible.
Yeah. And being, I think expectations, I'm always big on those, of being creative and out of the box of like, okay, they're in the bathroom with me, or they're in a playpen right outside the door, and the showers are quicker. Is it a luxurious shower? No. Changing the expectation of even what that non-negotiable looks like. They're I have a thing of talking about like ideal versus realistic. So you can have your ideal scenario of your non-negotiable and that what that shower would look like. But in if you're sacrificing and you're it's still not working and you're upset, you may need to let go of ideal and go with just what's realistic. Is it a rinse off like 5 minutes? So like it may be where, yeah, I don't want to take a shower at 10 p.m., but that was literally the only day. Like if it is your non-negotiable, you're just going to have to get creative and there will be sacrificing on, it might not be at the time you want it to be and it may not be for the length or look exactly the same. So you do need to adjust what that looks like. And to also know, ideally, this isn't forever. Like there's seasons of life and your non-negotiables will change and you may really want this non-negotiable and the shower isn't happening. It's not viable. And so how can we reframe that to be like, okay, I've got some great face wash and I do the next best thing. Kind of have to be willing to adjust it, but you're still finding a way to be like, okay, this, I'm still going to get this and feel okay with that. You have to get creative and you can't be a perfectionist and your house isn't going to be as picked up as you want it to be. And I had way more clutter and stressful chaos for a while. And I had to let go of some of those things. And it was still important. It was still an issue, no question. But when you have limited bandwidth and capabilities during season, like you have to make tough decisions and whatever you can get through is what you get through. And just to flip to the script a little bit, to look at this from the other side, because it's really all about self-awareness is how you figure these things out. But the beautiful thing about self-awareness is that it also allows you to see others better and have awareness of others. So I also don't want this to come through a process of it's all about us and that's all we're thinking, because yes, we do need that time. As you're noticing, what are your non-negotiables? What might your kids' non-negotiables need? What might those be? And so like maybe that structure of a book before bed, they need that everyday consistency. So even when you're tired or things are late, to realize that's a non-negotiable for them and the amount of like frustration you may have felt can be reduced because you're like, okay, this is important to them. No matter what, we need to make this happen. And so I also want the processes you figure out for yourself to be aware of your kids, and maybe they really want to talk to you. They have a million questions they need to just dump on you. When you have the insight to know how important that is to them, you can approach it in a much better way of being like, no matter what I'm doing right now, for the sake of all of us, I need to pause and let them just. And so going through this journey and having that self-awareness for your kids too, and helping them see this is really important, even verbalizing, I know this is really important to you, so I'm going to stop what I'm doing and we're going to have this time to narrate what's happening. And so I just wanted to share that side of it too, that's part of the journey as well for everyone in your home, that you respect each other and honor each other. And hey, your spouse can help or other kids can help to be like, hey, we know this is really important to them, so we are going to give them this time or do this thing. And it's just a massive shift in empathy and everyone getting a little bit of their cup filled.
Yeah, I remember times where we would talk to the other kids and say, it's really important that he has his alone time, or he really would like for space and those sorts of things. These are a non-negotiable. When he comes home from school, he really needs time by himself before he joins in with anyone. He doesn't really want to talk, and we can respect that for him. And so I think when you, the parent, are finding non-negotiables for yourself, and then acting upon them and figuring out ways to make them work when it feels like it's impossible, it then makes it easier, like you just said, to model and show empathy and to help your kids create those non-negotiables for themselves so they can advocate for their own needs, they can stand up for themselves. So I love that you brought that in, because I think that's important. And that is why we're doing all of this, because I think one of the things that holds so many people back is this idea that by having non-negotiables for themselves, it somehow makes them selfish. And I think it's quite the opposite.
Dana here. And guess what? My book, Calm the Chaos, has officially launched. So if you enjoy the podcast and find the stuff we're sharing valuable, I'm 100% sure you're going to love the book. You can get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you use this link, you'll also get some special bonuses. So once again, the link is calmthechaosbook.com. Thanks. I hope you're enjoying the show.
Right. And so by bringing it back to the kids, you're reminding us this isn't a selfish act. This is being human, taking care of yourself. And again, we're not saying you have 30 non-negotiables. That's when it becomes really, really difficult to create this space. And it becomes really hard. If you're like, none of my non-negotiables are getting met. And I'm like, okay, what are your non-negotiables? And then they're like, well, I don't want anyone to touch me. I want 10 hours of sleep. I want this, this, and that. It's like, wait, hold on just a second. You have an infant. It's going to be very hard to get 10 hours of uninterrupted sleep. So there's certain things there that we do have to be aware of. Are there any traps that you see parents falling into when they're trying to set their non-negotiables and then frustrated that they can't get them set up?
Yeah. And I think that's where we expect to be like, okay, I've decided this is my non-negotiable. Tomorrow I'm doing it and it's going to go great. And it will just work every day. So I think missing out on the transition period is really the biggest piece of understanding, like it'll take some time and some days you might miss it and you will have to play with like my back to that ideal. My ideal is to read my book or have my morning coffee like in the morning, but you know what? It's not going to happen till the afternoon or like we try to force it. So you keep trying, like you're going to have to give some time and try it over and over. But if you're trying for 2 months to make this morning non-negotiable happen, and it's not working, stop trying to force it. If it's not working, you're going to have to change it up and try a different place and move to a realistic option to understand when you're like, okay, I'm trying to force an ideal that's not going to happen. What's the next best realistic option? So that's really, the big shift of understanding the amount of time and then being flexible with trying it. And just another piece of just thinking through the whole process of non-negotiables and what that does for us in our day, that we're checking the box of a couple things of like, okay, we're just creating a foundation, like a baseline of, okay, this is like bare minimum things to help me get through the day. This is really just a starter piece. And it's the whole thing is a self-awareness journey. So this is step one, and then getting that fundamental and you'll realize, okay, I have a little air to breathe. I can get a little, and then we move. And then it's just like, what are all the other little pockets of time in the day? What are the different circumstances in the day that I can improve to get even a little more bandwidth, that I can feel even a little better? So this looks like, what circumstances really bother you or trigger you? I know for me, I have issues getting interrupted when I'm like in thought working, when I'm doing an email or I'm doing a text and I'm trying to think, choosing my words, and kids coming up to me and I'm super irritated. I want to do this. And so just starting to be in this mindset of noticing your emotions and your behaviors, I realize how much interruptions really bothered me. And so I can have that when my kid comes up, I can take a breath and be like, okay, is this super important? Do I need to tell them like, okay, I see you, give me 2 minutes, let me finish this task? Or do I need to just take a breath, put it down and deal with them?
I think with that one even is going deeper and finding out like why. Like we were on a coaching call this morning, it's like, but why is this bothering you? And is it bothering you because you're afraid you're not going to remember what you're thinking? That's what happens with me. If I get interrupted, I'm not coming back to it. And once I realized that that's why interruptions were hard for me, now I'm able to say, hold on, I have to finish this thought. Hold on, I have to finish what I'm writing, or I won't come back to it. Can you give me 3 minutes? Can you give me 2 minutes? So I have to finish the task I'm currently on, or my ADHD brain is like, what was I doing again? Totally forgot. Just like before we started this, I was like, okay, I'm going to hit record and then we're going to do a clap and then it's going to sync it and then we're going to go. And you're like, yes, I'm waiting on the clap. And I was like, oh my gosh, I totally forgot about the clap already. So that is just my brain when I'm interrupted too. It's like the same thing is happening throughout the day. Once I understood why I was getting frustrated, now I'm like, oh, I'm not frustrated. Hold on. I just need to share with them where I'm at. On the coaching call this morning, the same thing happened. Someone was saying that they're getting frustrated because their kid is dawdling due to anxiety. And they know why they're dawdling. They know why they're questioning, but they just couldn't help getting frustrated by it. So we went deeper. Mm-hmm. But why? Why does it bother you? I said, because we're going to be late. Why does late bother you? Because I'm a perfectionist and a people pleaser, and I'm used to having all the rules, you know, in place and following all the rules. Oh, what would happen? Oh, well, then people are going to judge me. Then I feel embarrassed because I can't get my kid to school on time. And it's like, oh, now we're really getting to why this. And so I think if anyone's listening to this, yes, identify where in the day you're getting flustered or frustrated and having that resentment or frustration. Figure out why. And don't try to do it all at once, like Julie said, right? Just pick one moment and start noticing. Notice for a week. Notice for 2 weeks. How often is it happening? When is it happening? Where is it happening? And then start asking that, what's this trying to tell me? Why is this happening? And it might go all the way back to what we've been talking about at the beginning, Julie, which is about non-negotiables. It might be that you're so depleted, you have no energy. So when your kid is dawdling, you have nothing left to give. And so you've spent it all already. And so now you're lost on, you lose your cool on them. You're not able to hold it steady. You're not able to explain to them. And so that brings it all back full circle of why this is so important that we all do. But yet almost every parent I know skips this and tries to it's an entire chapter in my book. And yet people will try to skip that chapter or that module in the course, or I can just skip stage two. I don't need time and energy. I'm like, you do. You do definitely do.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's and such it, a powerful it is, thing.
Yeah. And that's where it's like, you start with these non-negotiables. It's a core. And then you find all the other little pieces of time where you can handle something with less frustration, and it's draining you less because you can navigate it better. And I know the rushing piece too is, we're gonna end up going to therapy here with me, but the rushing is an issue for me too. And I would get more tense, we gotta go. I hate having a rush. And so I would see that what your issues are, your kids will pick up too. And especially my son with anxiety, definitely not helpful. And even my daughter, the more panic mode, and then they're they're getting overwhelmed. And so they're going to mirror as well. So we want to show them to mirror good things, but they're going to mirror our frustrations as well, and to be aware of what upsets them. So to realize, oh, I'm rushing them. That is why I'm getting all the extra behavior issues, and they're moving slower and all the things because they're overwhelmed and they can't handle the emotional tension in the air. Mm-hmm. That these are things to be noticing, to be like, okay, what can I proactively and intentionally do to avoid so much rushing? Having better boundaries of actually stopping tasks when I need to and not waiting till the last second. I may be able to get out the door in 5 minutes, but my kids can't. So I have the wrong expectations for them, and then I'm getting mad when they won't get ready, when that's not a fair assessment either. And just being aware for them too, and talking about the interruptions and rushing, when we, whatever our issues are, and whether it's interruptions, to know too when we're like, okay, it's time to go, get off the device, we have to leave now, how do they feel getting interrupted as well, and not having, and just being aware of their needs to, again, those non-negotiables, and even just awareness of okay, they need to know, they need time warnings. They need to know 30 minutes, 15 minutes, or they don't. Different, you have to know your kid and find out what works. But it's just all these, using the self-awareness as you start with the non-negotiables to find a little capacity. And then you're okay, how, finding all these other pieces throughout the day of okay, how can I handle rushed situations better? How can I handle interruptions better? And that I'm realizing I'm forcing my kids to stop in the middle of play or stop reading the book right now. We have to go, to have that awareness of the demands, where I was just listening to your demand, shout out you guys to the demand episode, is great, to realize too of all these expectations and our interactions with our kids. And it's just where are all these little moments where we can make it less chaotic, less overwhelming, less frustrating. So it's a little, you can think of it as a treasure hunt of, you find one thing, you work on that one thing, then you find another thing and you work on that until you've smoothed out some things as much as possible. And then you find that you're able to handle the meltdowns a little bit easier, just a little bit easier today. That's all. It's those little things that can make a huge difference, just to feel like we're not in survival mode, to be like, yeah, I did that. I just got through that meltdown without having a complete meltdown myself. That feels so good. Mm-hmm. So that's really the journey here. The non-negotiables and the self-awareness is just to find all the little nuances of the day that we can just handle a little bit better and just make it just a little easier.
Yeah. I feel like people always talk about filling the cup. And I honestly feel like when you're able to recharge, when you're able to do these tiny sustainable things, things that you can do every day, whether that's just, I'm going to drink a glass of water when I first wake up, I'm going to take the stairs instead of taking the elevator, I'm going to stand outside in the sun for 3 minutes, I'm going to take a big deep breath before I walk into the room, whatever those sustain things you can do every single day, like you said earlier, of habit stacking, while you're washing your hands, you're going to do your little deep breath in and deep breath out. You're practicing those sorts of things while you're washing your hands or you're doing the dishes or you're changing out the laundry. That's going to be far more effective when we can take those little things and make them sustainable, do them every day, than when we take a whole day and go to the spa, or we take a girl's weekend and go off for a weekend with our girlfriends, or we go out for a night without the kids. Those are great and fun and yay, we should do them and fill our life with joy and fun. But when you're in survival mode, it's the small sustainable things. And yes, it's filling your cup, but I feel like it's growing your cup, because your cup, when you're in survival mode, feels like it's a thimble size, right? My daughter made me these little earrings. You can't probably see them. It's tiny. It's a little coffee mug. It's like the size of a little thimble. It's like the size of my thumbnail. This is the size of our cup when we are in survival mode. It is like this big. And I want to grow that. I don't even have a, this is what I want. I want to have a cup that's this big. The size of my, you're a big deal. If you're listening on audio and not watching, I want to grow my cup to this size, right? And so every time we do these little tiny sustainable things, we find our non-negotiables, we're growing our cup from a cup that's this size to a cup that's this size, because we can fill this cup all day long, but it's going to overflow and it's not going to actually sustain us until we start growing this cup, expanding this cup so it can fit more in it. And what you're talking about here really is about growing that cup by identifying those non-negotiables. So if someone's listening to this and they are in survival mode and their cup is tea tiny, like this one, what would you say are some like first steps they can take?
It's a deep breath, I feel like. But yeah, just to take a moment and just like notice where you are. And I would say first check your expectations or check your shoulds. Because a lot of times we're thinking about our cup and it's, I should be getting that, filling my time with the spa day and the night out and all these shoulds. And you have to really take out outside points of view and all of that. Look at you and your family, and it's just, okay. Remember some gratitude, grateful for your family. And it's, what is one thing that's going to put a smile on my face today? What is one thing, even if that feels too much, maybe that feels too much for you. Maybe it's just, what will allow me to take a deep breath? What will take away the chest anxiety that I just feel like I carry all day long? What is one thing, like just what pops in your mind? Like you said, going out in nature, like just stepping outside your house. I feel like that's a great one, honestly. I can't even think of a non-negotiable. I have no idea. Okay, start out, go step outside for those 3 minutes. Mm-hmm. Just a different change of environment is huge. So I would say even just starting there of just stepping outside, taking a breath and checking your expectations, that it may not feel like you do this non-negotiable, and it may not feel like fireworks are going off and like everything's amazing. Maybe it will, but like, you get that coffee and you're like, yes,
there won't be that magical elf that pops up in the corner of your house and is like, hee hee, you made it. That's not going to happen. It's just, we're not magic. We're not magic beings. I mean, we are magic beings, but that's not going to happen. It's going to be slow and gradual, and it's going to feel like nothing's happening until you look back in a couple of months and you go, whoa, I've actually bathed a lot this last couple of months. Or whoa, like I've seen sunlight. Wow. Yeah. I know how to breathe. I'm calmer. Like you're just not going to feel it in the beginning though.
Yeah. But that's one of those things. Like maybe even it's on your calendar. If you've got like a fridge calendar, you got your 3 minutes of sunshine that day. Put a little check or a little sunshine on there. And just to see your calendar, something happy on your calendar too. All those fun things. It can help to have a visual to be like, okay, I am making progress. I am doing something. And that can help too when you look back and you're like, wow. All of a sudden one day you realize you're like, oh, mornings aren't as chaotic as they used to be. Mm-hmm. And those are the moments we're waiting for. So stick it out and like, that you're going to have this moment one time you'll be like, oh, this is easier than it was. Like nighttime routine is easier. The car ride is easier now. Like it's just, that's how it hits you when you know you're like, okay, it's working. And so give yourself some time and just pick that one really simple thing and just keep trying to do it. And if you miss a day, do not beat yourself up. You made the non-negotiable. You can also change it. And it's not the end of the world. This is a long-term, all of this is long-term lifestyle consistency, not the magical one days. And like you said, those date nights are amazing, but you come right back to where you were and it's a reality check. And you're like, oh. So the goal is to have less and just have all these little moments that build up.
Thank you so much. Normally I ask people, I say, if you were sitting in front of a mom and she's struggling, she's in survival mode and she can't find her non-negotiable, what would you tell her? And you just did it. So I don't have to ask you that. You just gave this beautiful share of just breathe and focus on one thing and know that it's not going to change overnight. So thank you. Thank you for sharing this. And thanks for sharing this perspective of non-negotiables in a way that I think a lot of people are going to be able to resonate and understand how to actually do it and take action. Where can people find out more about you and learn more about what you have to share?
Yeah, I am over at the Mom Made Plans podcast. And that is where you can find me every week. We're just serving up practical ways to make all these, find all these little ways to make mom life easier and just plenty of grace. We're not perfect. We're doing our best every day. So I would love to, yeah, have you guys come hang out and listen as well.
Awesome. Fantastic. Well, guys, if this resonated with you, if it helped you, even just in the slightest, if you're finding yourself in survival mode, even if you're not finding yourself in survival mode, but the thought of identifying something that is a non-negotiable just for you is brand new to you, or you haven't quite known how to do it and this helped you, please message us, email us, tag us on social, let us know. I know Julie would love to hear from you. I'd love to hear from you. We'd love to know what resonated. And if you liked the podcast, tell a friend and go ahead and hit review, give us those 5 stars so that more people can learn about us. And as you're heading out today, I just want to remind you, it's about taking it one step at a time. It's about taking that consistent, and not even consistent in the fact that you do it every day, but just taking those bite-sized pieces and those tiny steps. And when you fall off, you just start over again. And it's not about getting it perfect. It's just about continuing to keep moving forward. You are not alone. You've got Julie, you've got me, you've got a whole bunch of mamas on your side who are here cheering you on. And if you need that pick me up, just shout out, let me know, hey, I need that support system and I will guide you to where to find it. So I hope this has resonated with you. I hope this has been helpful today. And I will talk to each and every one of you next week on the podcast. Bye guys.
Oh, and before I go, one quick note for all of you who are enjoying the podcast. My new book is officially live, and I know you're going to love it. So just a quick reminder, you can go get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com. And if you do, you'll get some cool bonuses as well. Once again, get your copy at calmthechaosbook.com, and I'll see you next week.